We are in Parakaf Vayis, Pasuk Yud. We said that Pasuk Yud said that they were sending a messenger to Michayu ben Yimla. Yehoshaphat wanted a Navi Lashem, another one to find out if they should go, and they sent a messenger. Meanwhile, in Pasuk Yud it says that Melech Yisrael, Yehoshaphat, Melech Yehuda were sitting Ishal Kisai, Milubashim Begadim, Begairen, Pesach Shar Shaimran, Bechal Anavim, Misnavim Lifnam. So they were sitting on their chairs, wearing Begadim. We said last time, Begadim either means Big Day Malchus or Big Day Melchama. And the question we had was, and they're sitting in the Gairen, Pesach Shar Shaimran. So we wanted to know exactly why the Navi saw fit to tell us this right here. All of a sudden now we find out where they're sitting. That's how we left off. Now in Divrei Hayamim, Beis, Perek Ches, I think it is, Yud, Perek Ches, Pasuk, no, it's not Perek Ches, what is it? Yurkas. Perik Yurkas. Pasuk Tes. Yes, it says the same pasuk there. And Rashi, or the Mefarish, we said it's not Rashi, he says, what's going on here? What is the Navi telling us? So he says as follows. We're going to see, remember, we're setting the stage for Achab to be killed in the war with Aram. We're going to see later that the king of Aram commanded his troops, don't try to kill anyone in Klal Yisrael except for the king. That's the only one I want killed. Don't fight with the Katan, he's going to say. Don't fight with the Gadol. Only Melech Yisrael Levadai. That's the only one I want you to kill. We'll see that later. Melech Aram told, the king of Aram told his soldiers, when he's fighting against Klal Yisrael, go straight for Achav. Which means to say, it sounds like he was being Mekayim the Nevuah that Achav is going to be killed. And we're going to see that the Navi Michayu, when he's going to say his Nevuah, is going to tell him that everyone else in Klal Yisrael is going to be fine except for you, Achav. No one else will be killed except for you. And the king of Aram gives the command, don't kill anyone except for Achav. Now, without anything, we would say, well, Lev Melachim Biyad Hashem. Hashem puts into the mind of the king of Aram this Mishagas, that when you go to war, don't kill anyone except the king. Why? To be Mikayim, the Nebuah, that Achav should be killed. But the Mefarish here in Divrei Hayamim says a much more practical reason. Not that you have to come on to this Lev Melachim Biyad Hashem. He says that he, the king of Aram, had spies. And his spies were there when the Nevi'im were saying their Nevuah. Now, if the king was in the city, in the middle of the city, in the capital city, and he was having this meeting, it would be very hard for spies to infiltrate without anyone realizing who they are. How would their spies be able to get in and hear what's going on? So what did Hashem do? We still have to come on to Hashem at the end of the day. Hashem made it that where they sit, Shar Shaimrain, they're sitting in the Gairin, in this threshing place, at the entrance of Shaimrain, which is right at the gates of the city. And what? No, Achav and Yehoshaphat and the Nevi'im, this whole affair is happening Shar Shaimrain. Shar Shaimrain is a very open area of spies and travelers coming in and coming out. Spies are not so recognizable over there. So therefore, says the Mefarish, therefore it says that the Melech was sitting in Shar Shaimrain and the Nevi'im were in Misnabe to tell us How was it possible for the king of Aram to have Miraglim, to have spies there with no one realizing they're there? Is only because they were by the Pesach of Shaar Shomer. That is why the Navi here tells us where they were sitting. They were sitting, Begayr and Pesach of Shaar Shomer, the Chol HaNaviim is Nabim Lefneyan, and therefore the spies heard everything. And they're going to hear, as Michal is going to come back and say, his Nebuah, they went and reported it to Melech Aram, and therefore that's why when he heard the Nebuah, you hear, he believed the Nebuah. The Melech Aram said, if that's what the Navi says, that's what I'm going to do. Only go and kill Afma Achav, don't kill anyone else. That is why it says Pesach Shaar Shomer here. Now, there's a Gemara in Chulin, in Masechta Chulin, that brings this pasuk and goes through the whole sugya over here with the Shafat and Achav, and brings this pasuk, and the Gemara says a question, like a very, like the Gemara can't understand what's going on over here. Begayren Pesach Shaar Shomer, in the threshing floor, the silo, at the entrance of Shaar Shomer. So the Gemara says, Shaar Shomer is a threshing floor? Shaar Shomer is a geirin? How could that be? As if we're supposed to understand why it can't be. It's like the Gemara can't even fathom that there should be a geirin Shaar Shomer. And the truth is, it doesn't make a lot of sense that you make threshing at the gate of the ear. Well, why would you make it the Shaar Ha'ir? There should be a geirin there. It's not where you make a geirin. A geirin, out in the fields, where you harvest everything, and you bring it in, you do all the things, and you store it, so you thresh it out there. Why would you thresh it at the entrance of the city? So the Mefarshei Apshat, leave the Gemara for a minute, the Mefarshei Apshat over here on the page in Malachim say, that's all true when you're not worried about the enemy coming and burning down all of your storehouses. But if you're every once in a while in a fight with Aram, and it's happening a couple of years after each other here, you're not going to keep your wheat out in the field. They'll just burn it down, and they'll lay siege to your city, and you're done. There's no food. So even though the Gemara seems to say it doesn't sound logical that there should be a threshing floor or a geirin at the entrance of a city, the Mefarshei Apshat say that's at normal times. But in times of war, you keep your food as close to you as possible. So they kept it right at the entrance of the city. That's where the storehouses of the food were. So in Pashup Shat, there's not such a big question here. The Geirin, Pesach Shaar Shomer. How could you have a Geirin? Why would there be a Geirin at the entrance of Shomer? The answer is, it's not normally there. In times when you're worried about the enemy, so you keep your storehouses close by, you don't leave them out far away. The Gemara, on the other hand, and the truth is, it's not just a minug, in yesterday's Daf HaYomi, which you're probably not keeping up with, but if you're long enough, you'll start learning Daf HaYomi. The Gemara says that there's halachas of how far away you're allowed to do things from your friend's property. And one thing is, or from other people, because you might end up bothering them. You know, how a lot of set up birdhouses right next to your friend's field, the birds can come eat up all their seeds. There's halachas, Hilchos Shechinim it's called, halachas of neighbors. So, there's a halacha, you're not allowed to make a geirin within 50 amos of a city. Because in a geirin, what happens is, what do you do in a geirin? You thresh. You take all the wheat and you throw it up in the air, and what happens? All the chaff starts flying all over the place, and it bothers people, it gets in their eyes. If they have fields, it ruins their fields. It's a thing that's potentially damaging. So it's not just like not the norm to have a geirin at Pesach Shaar Shomer. It may not even be allowed. Again, maybe extenuating circumstances because the Melchama is different. But the Gemara's question was not just it's not normal. The Gemara said, in Halacha, it's usur to make a geirin within 50 amos of a city, let alone at the gate of the city. So the Gemara answers differently. And the Gemara says that this whole geirin here is a mashal. Because the Gemara is out to prove an interesting thing. The Gemara is out to prove that if someone is Oyver Avayda Zara, person is an Oyver Avayda Zara, and they shecht an animal for you, are you allowed to eat from that animal or not? No. Why? What about it? That he shechted an animal for you. He happens to serve Avayda Zara instead of davening Shachas Mincha Marav, he davened to the Baal. So, but now he did a kasher shechita. He's a proper shechet. He did everything correctly. He has Kabbalah and shechita, and he goes and he shechts. So, it works. No, as long as the Kabbalah is to cut that off. Okay, so that's the Gemara's debating. The Gemara is debating. The halacha is as follows. If someone is called a mumur l'chol ha-taira kula, someone will rebel, lahachis, go and be over on all mitzvahs of the Taira without caring. He doesn't care. He knows the mitzvahs and he's over on all of them. The halacha is shchitasa is psula. He's not allowed to shecht. Just like a guy cannot shecht for us, he cannot shecht for us either. And we learn it from Psukim.
Why?
We learn it from Psukim. Someone who is not a Jew, a full-fledged Jew, he's called a Mumr L'chol HaTaira Kula, he's going to be over on everything in the Taira, he can't shecht. The question is, if someone is, but let's say someone is a Mumr L'davar Echad, he doesn't like the mitzvah of Shatnez. It doesn't appeal to him. And therefore, he's not going to do it, he's going to dafka wear Shatnez. But just because he's not going to wear Shabbos doesn't mean that he doesn't keep Shabbos. He keeps Shabbos. What? No, that's not true. Only if you're over on all of them, we assume, even if you're over on most of them, you'll be over on all of them. But to say that someone does one Aveira and not the other, he could be doesn't do the other. So if someone is over on one Aveira, and then he's a mummer for one Aveira, and he shechts, shechitas is kshera. The question is, a mumr l'avayda zara, only one avera, but it's a big avera, right? A big avera of avayda zara, and avayda zara, perhaps you could say, may lead to for him, if he doesn't believe in Hashem, why should he keep any mitzvahs? Maybe he's like a mumr l'chol ha-taira kula. Maybe it's what it matters if you don't believe in Hashem. Maybe it's as if you haven't been over on every mitzvah in the Torah, maybe he will. It's a debate in the Gemara. The Gemara tries to bring a proof from Yehoshaphat and Achav. Yehoshaphat and Achav get together here. And it doesn't say it here in our Pesukim in Malachim.
Does it?
No. But in Divrei Hayamim it tells us that Achav made a party with Yehoshaphat. Vayizbach le'achav tzoyin uvakar l'raiv. He shechted sheep and cattle. V'la'am asher imay. For all the people that were together with him and with Yehoshaphat. And he tried to convince Yehoshaphat to come with him to fight Aram, which is our pasuk where he tells him, Vayomer el Yehoshaphat asei lechiti lamokam. So in Divrei Hayamim it tells us that when Yehoshaphat and Achav were talking here, it wasn't just a meeting, it was a party. Achav shechted. Shechted a lot of animals. And Yehoshaphat seems to have eaten from the animals. Now Achav was an Oyver Avayda Zara. No, Yehoshaphat. This is where Rashi says Yehoshaphat tzadik gomer hoya. So no one should say he was influenced. Rashi says Yehoshaphat the tzadik gomer, and he ate from Achav shechita. The Gemara says, how do you know Achav really did? The Gemara goes through all different ways. The Gemara seems to prove that Achav did the shechita and Yehoshaphat ate from him. So it's a proof, says the Gemara, if Yehoshaphat's going to eat from Achav shechita, that if someone is a mumer l'avayda zara, you're allowed to eat from Ishchita. The Gemara says, how do you know Achav and Yehoshaphat were such good friends that Yehoshaphat would not refuse Achav's offer to eat? So the Gemara says, our pasuk, Begairin Pesach Shar Shaimran. Atu Gairin Pesach Shar Shaimran. You have a Gairin in the entrance of Shar Shaimran? Says the Gemara, Gairin is a mashal. A mashal. What's a Gairin? A gairin is in the shape of a half a circle. And it's a mashal to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin used to sit in a half a circle. When the Sanhedrin sat, all the judges, they sat in a half a circle. Why? There's a couple of reasons. Rashi says they didn't sit in a complete circle, was in order just because you need people to get down into the... In other words, they had like a, it was like a stadium with the seats going up, and they sat in a half a circle. So on the bottom was the Edom. If there was anyone of any court cases, it would take place on the bottom, and everyone would be able to watch it. If you have a full circle, number one, it would be hard for people to get in and out. We can take care of that problem. But number two is we want everyone to be able to see the faces of the Edom when they say the testimony, even though you don't paskin, I'll see the faces, but when you see the faces, you can see if someone's telling the truth or not. Others say we want the Nasi or the Av Bezdin to be able to see all of the Dayanim. We don't want anyone to be behind their back. It's a different decorum, it's a different control if you see everyone, as opposed to, right, if you ever had to watch the circus, if you saw the backs of everyone, it wasn't much fun, right? The half a circle would have been much more fun if you were in the front of them. So it's the same idea. So the Gemara says that when it says over here they sat begayren, it means it's a mashal to say that they were sitting be'achdos, like the Sanhedrin sits be'achdos in a half a circle, the shape of a geyren. So the Gemara proves, how do we know Yashapan and Achav were good friends? Because it says here, Begairen, and Geirin is a mushroom to the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin sits together, and they talk to each other, and they go through Dinei Torah, and they consult with each other in a half a circle. Says the Gemara, the pasuk is telling you, Achav and Yehoshaphat acted like the Sanhedrin. They were friendly. They consulted with each other. They talked to each other like those who sit in the shape of a geirin. And that's what our pasuk is proving to us. And therefore, says the Gemara, once we know that they were good friends, we'll say probably that Yehoshaphat ate from Achav's party, and we have a proof that if someone is a mummer, la'avayd avayd azara, his shechita is kosher. Which again, or shows us, that Achav, as big as a Rasha as he was, it was very confined to avayd azara. We're not calling him a mummer l'chal ha'tayra kula. If he would be over on every mitzvah in the Torah, it wouldn't be a question. It wouldn't be a proof to our question. You see, the Gemara considers him only a mummer for avayd azara, and everything else, perhaps, it may not have been the biggest tzaddik, but yeah, not necessarily lahachis. What?
Never allowed to eat from somebody. Are you ever not allowed to eat from somebody who's
a machlaikas in the Gemara? It's a machlaikas. But the Gemara is trying to bring a proof from our story. If you're a shafat, ate from Achav's party, it must be you're allowed to. Yeah?
So you don't see
it except for him that he ate from. In no, you don't see it clearly, but the Gemara tries to say maybe he only drank and he didn't eat. The Gemara says you don't eat, you don't drink without eating. The Gemara then proves that they were such good friends, it doesn't make sense that he refused it. Yeah?
I don't understand how come Yehoshaphat is described as a
savage on
there. But if he ate with someone that
that wasn't serving Avayd Azara at that time. He served Avayd Azara in the privacy of his own home. Now he happens to be shechting and eating.
But isn't it interesting that you can put yourself in a situation like with a person that's
bad? Well, he had his... First of all, we see they were related. And as we said, if he, even though he was a Tzadik Gomer, because he was a Tzadik Gomer, you have to say he had a cheshbonus of doing the Ratzon Hashem, but whatever his cheshbonos were, I don't know. But he had obviously reasons for doing this. Right? Again, remember, Chazal is stressing Tzadik Gomer, so we should understand that even though it seems that he was doing things that we would never have done, right? But it's not so simple.
Is there any more question that describes Tzadik Gomer as not a complete
Tzadik? Why would they do that? What else would Tzadik Gomer mean?
I don't know, I just dream that.
He's not being praised. No one's praising him for being Ba'achdus. We're saying a fact. He gets punished at the end for being Ba'achdus with Achav, but he's still a Tzadik Gomer. No one's praising him for being Ba'achdus. We're saying the fact. He was Vachtus, and therefore he must have eaten with him, and therefore it's a raya. That's it.
So what's the punishment coming from? He's not completely good. That's Gomorrah praising
himself,
no?
But Tzadik Gomorrah could also do averis. Tzadik Gomorrah could also make a wrong cheshbon on what he's supposed to do. So at the end of the day, we'll see, he went with Akav's plan, he's supposed to be punished for that. But Chazal still stressed Tzadik Gomorrah, and Tzadik Baruch Shastav Leyachta. And even Tzadik does things that are even Moshe Rabbeinu, Lefi Madrei Gosei, did some, whatever it is, Averis, whatever they were. Okay. So that is over here, this pasuk here. Now pasuk it out. While they're waiting for Michaya to come, Vayas Loi Tzidkia Ben Kinana Karnei Garza. Vayomer Koyamar Hashem Be'ele Tinagach Esaram Ad Kalaisim. Tzidkia Ben Kinana went, and he made horns of Garza, iron horns. And he said, Koyamar Hashem. He was one of these 400 Nevi'im here. And he said, this is what Hashem said, Be'ele, with these, Tinagach es Aram. You will gore Aram. Means these are what you will use to win against Aram. Now, first of all, why did he need, it says karne, which is a lashon of two. So why did he need two horns? Why did he make two horns? So the Al-Sheikh says one was for Achav and one was for Yoshafat. There's two kings here, so each one gets a horn. Why specifically did he use a horn? Wanted to use a gun or a sword or a knife or something like that. So the Barvanel says Achav was a descendant of Yosef, Shevet Yosef. And it says over there, Karnei Re'em Karnam Bohem Amim Yinagach. It says in Parshas Vezayis HaBracha, in the Bracha of Yosef, that Bohem, with the Karnei Re'em Karnav, with the horns, Bohem Amim Yinagach, this is what he'll use to gore other nations. So he was making it for Achav, who was a from Shevet Yosef, to show that you are going to Nekayim, the Nevuah, the Bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu, of attacking the enemy and winning with horns, because that's the Bracha Moshe Rabbeinu gave, with the horns, Bohem Amim Yinagach. It's a simen to that Bracha. But the question is, Bechlau, that's all wonderful, in the, why a Karen, why two, but what was the point of this whole thing? What was the whole charade for? What do you need Karen Barz for? Why didn't he just say, you're going to win, like everyone else said? Right? Like it says in the next passage, Bechlau Nevi'im Nibin Kein Leimor, all the Nevi'i Sheker said, go to Ramez Gilad, V'hatzlach V'natan Hashem Yad HaMelech. Well, what is Tzidkia Ben Kinana doing over here? So, so the Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha, when Avraham Avinu was told by Hashem to go and walk in the land La'arka U'L'Rachba, so the Ramban says that we know myself is in Labanim. So that's why Avraham Avinu was doing things for his children. They're going to conquer it. But the Ramban says that when Hashem gives the Nevuah or a Gzeira min HaShemayim, and it's not just verbally said by the Navi, it's brought about, the Nevuah is said together with props, basically, with, he calls it a what's the lashon? Poyal HaDimyayim. He does an action that shows you what he's talking about. Then, says the Ramban, the Gezeira can never become batal. Hashem can never take it back. And therefore, says the Ramban, you'll find the Nevi'im that do an action. Yirmiyahu HaNavi, when he talks about the Mapala of Bavel, So they write in a sefer and they throw it into Nahar Pras, and he says, just like this sinks down, so to Bavel should sink. Elisha did a couple of these things. And therefore, says the Ramban, Avraham Avinu didn't just get the Nevuah. Hashem said, you're going to have my land. Hashem told him, go walk in the land. Go do something in action. And therefore, it can never become batel. That's the aside that the Ramban says. That when there is a Nevuah, and it's brought about not only verbally, it's brought about through doing some type of action or creating something, a Poyel HaDimyon he calls it, it can never become batel. The Ran was one of the Rishonim, and his drashas is a little perturbed with this Ramban. And he says you really have to qualify this Ramban, because he says that it sounds like a Nevuah that doesn't have a Payal HaDimyon to it doesn't have to become Mekuyam. So most Nevuahs in the Torah and anywhere don't have a Payal HaDimyon. But if Hashem says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. It's only good if there's an action to it. He says you're a little bit weakening our emunah, so to speak, in Nevuah. What?
Whose question?
The Ran. His lashon is kizem matil rifyoin v'chulsha. This gives a weakening to the Yehudim, to the nevuahs. Asher lo bo aleihem pael dimyoni shelo yachreichem liskayim. All the other nevuahs that don't have an action, says the Ran, if you're going to say this is a general rule that if it has an action, it will happen. Most nevuahs don't, and we believe a nevuah is a nevuah. So the Ran says you have to understand what it's talking about. We have a cloud that a nevuah l'taiva is not chayzer. If Hashem gives a nevuah l'taiva, there's nothing we could do that He'll say that I'm not going to give you the nevuah l'taiva. A nevuah l'taiva is never chayzer. A nevuah l'ra, on the other hand, you could do tshuva. Now, this is all a chesed from Hashem, you have to remember. Because there's no real difference to Hashem if the Nevuah is L'tayv or L'ra. There's nothing special about the Nevuah L'tayv that you can't be Mabatel, and the Nevuah L'ra that you could. Just that if a Nevuah was always changeable through, let's say, a Nevuah L'tayv, and the people become Rishon, so Hashem says, forget it. But not everyone realizes that the reason it didn't happen was because Hashem said, forget it. Maybe the Navi was really Navi Sheker. That's why it didn't happen. How could you ever figure out what's a true Nevuah or not? So therefore Hashem had to make it that there's something that's always going to happen. And that's, he'd rather pick a Nevuah L'tayv. A Nevuah L'tayv will always happen in order to ensure that there's still a concept of believing in Nevuah. A Nevuah L'ra, on the other hand, Hashem says it can be changed with Tshuva. There are instances of a Nevuah L'ra that can't. For example, one of the reasons why Nevuah L'ra... I don't want to go into the details. There's the instances where Nevuah L'tayv could be changed. Let's say the whole reason Nevuah L'tayv can't be changed is because people aren't going to understand it's from Hashem. What if the Nevuah is a specific tzaddik himself, a Nevuah about himself? So he's going to know that he got a Nevuah, and he slipped in his madrig, and that's why it didn't happen. So therefore it's possible a Nevuah L'tayv could change.
No, individually, no one knows about it.
Okay, but I'm saying, but the possibility of it exists. It's not an ironclad rule, because it's not a given, a Nevuah L'tayv. It's Hashem said, I want to ensure the Amunah and Nevuah. A Nevuah L'ra, we could do tshuva. When Hashem wants a Nevuah L'ra to be something that's ironclad, that won't be changeable, even through tshuva,
Yeah,
props. Very good. Hashem tells the Navi, Poyel HaDimyon, go do something. That's what the Ramban means, that when you do an action, it can't be changed. It happens to be, not by coincidence, that every Nevuah that has a Poyel HaDimyon to it is always a Nevuah L'ra. And, one other thing, perhaps, this is not clear in the Ran, but they also happen to be only for Goyim. We don't find ever a Nevuah l'ra' am Klal Yisrael that had a Poel HaDimyon with it to ensure that it can't be Chayzer. So the Ran is explaining that the Ramban says, but it doesn't help you because you have to figure out by Avraham Avinu, right? Avraham Avinu was a Nevuah l'Taiva.
Here's the Nevuah l'Taiva. Why is it bringing here from?
Well, we haven't brought here anything yet. We haven't said, the Ran did not talk about our story yet. Anna's story wasn't a real Nevuah, it was fake.
Oh, but people didn't know that?
No.
That popped the ball for bad.
We'll see in a second. So this we have now a Ramban. Let's just pass it over quickly. There's a Ramban. And the Ramban says that Avraham Avinu walked in Eretz Yisrael, you find Nevi'im do actions. Why? Because when you do an action, the Nevuah can never be chayzer. Asks the Ran, what do you mean? Nevuah can't be chayzer anyways. Hashem says the Nevuah, it's going to happen. There's so many Nevuahs like it. So the Ran says, I'll qualify it. The Ramban's rule is true by a Nevuah l'ra. A Nevuah l'taiva can't change anyways. A Nevuah l'ra could change if you do tshuva. But if Hashem, the Navi, does something, a Poel HaDimyon, he does an action, that ensures that it will not be able to change, and could be it's only for Goyim, that Hashem will only want to be an ironclad sealed psak only by Goyim. That the Ran doesn't say, but it's Mavur, all the places that it happens always Mavur on Goyim. You would have to say, maybe, by Avraham Avinu, that even though it was good for Avraham, but it was bad for the Kanaanim, right? Sometimes a Nevuah is tight for one person, but it's bad for another. Moshe Meis v'Yeshua Machnes. Is that called a Nevuah l'Tayv or a Nevuah l'Ra? There's a debate, there's a question of what to do when you have that. Is that, since it's a Nevuah l'Tayv, there's no way out of it? But for someone else it's Ra, let him do tshuva. So that, I don't know, it's an old question of what you do in such a case. A couple of Mesher Tachmas about it, different ways, what? So perhaps we could say by Avraham Avinu that if it's a Nevuah l'Tayv to Avraham Avinu, but it's a Nevuah l'Ra to the Kanaanim, it's changeable, because since it's a Nevuah l'Ra to the Kanaanim, they could change it. But if he does an action that ensures it's not changeable in the Ra half, and therefore automatically the Tayv now will for sure happen. That's how you would have to seemingly, I don't see the Ran says in a foolish, but that's how you're going to have to apply the Ran if you want to keep the Ramban's theory that Avraham Avinu was doing an action to ensure the Nevuah, is because when you have a situation like that, you're going to have to do it. And most of the Nevuahs were like that also. They were wars. Right, Aram, and all these are the cases of Bavel. These are a Mapala for Bavel is a war. There's going to be a winner and a loser. So if it's bad, right, it's good for one, bad for the other. But you need not always, but sometimes, not always. Okay, so that is that. Now, after we know this whole thing, perhaps we can say that's why Tzidkiyo ben Kenana made Karnei Barzel here. These are Nevi'ei Sheker. Right? A Navi Sheker is going to want to ensure that everyone believes him. So what does he do? He knew the Ramban, he was a well-learned fellow, Tzidkiyo ben Kenana. He didn't just become a Navi Sheker without going to school. He knew what he was doing. He had to fool everyone. So when he says that Aram is going to, he wants to say, go, you're going to beat Aram, that's not necessarily true, that's for sure going to happen. It's a Nevuah l'ra and Aram. It's a Nevuah l'tayv and achav, but it's a Nevuah l'ra and Aram. Maybe Aram will do tshuva. How could you ensure, one second, how could the Navi ensure that achav is really going to go to war and listen to the Navi? So he figures, I have an insurance here. I'll tell him, look, I'm going to make Karnei Barza. We have props, the Poel HaDimyon. When everyone knows that when you use a Poel HaDimyon, that's it. It's ironclad, it's sealed, it's for sure going to happen. So part of the whole game here of Tzidkiyo ben Kenana to ensure and hope that Achav's going to listen was he made these Karnei Barzel as a Poel HaDimyon, like the Ramban said, to ensure, to tell Achav that it's for sure going to happen, that Avraham is going to lose. Yeah?
Oh, so the 400 Nevi'im said there, Nevuah, Yehoshaphat wants another opinion. and on the spot to kill makes these kind of have ourselves.
Yeah, while they're waiting for the Navi to come.
How long can it take them to come?
I don't know. I don't know how long it takes to make Karni Barzal. I don't know.
Did
Achim know the Kari he didn't know, yeah? Maybe it's a full Yom Shabbat. It's a full Yom Shabbat. Yeah, but they're hoping that it's at the 400 plus the 1, they're hoping it'll work. I don't know, this is all part of the game. I mean, if you're bringing 400 Nevi'ei Shefet to say to go, it doesn't hurt to make a pile of Dimyon and continue the game, right? I mean, so, yeah?
But it's a bit of more.
But it's bad on Aram. They're going to lose. Well, but that is the Nevuah. Nevuah is you're going to win and they're going to lose. Well, if they do too, maybe they won't lose. See, normally you'll say, if it's good for us, even if it's bad for them, it's too late. It's good, and a good can't go back. That's one way of saying it. But if you want to say the other way, want to say the other perspective, you want to say that if it's bad for them, they could do tshuva, and Hashem will figure out something how to get our good nevuah going, right? So then you need a pile of dimyon to ensure that their bad will be bad. That is perhaps, I don't know if the Mepharshim say this, but it's perhaps why he, Tzidkiyah ben Kenana, did this. But it was b'chol good to say over the whole Rabban and Ran to understand that you saw it in the Nevuah. It's a very sadistic thing. Okay.
When a Navi would bring up a
cross, yeah.
What's the better word?
That's the better word?
Yeah.
But the pilot, I mean, that's some type of action. It's not so much a prop. He's doing something. Usually he's doing something. Here, he made something. Usually, like Yirmiyah threw something into the sea and he said, they'll sink like that is sinking. I don't mean to walk.
Is that
Hashem? Yeah, those Nevuahs, Hashem said to do it, yeah. No, they don't make it up, no. Hashem said to do it. Avraham Avinu, Hashem said to do it. All those cases, I think, Hashem said to do it. Okay. Fine. Now, the messenger here, he went and got Michayu, and on the way he says, I have a little bit of advice for you. He should know there were 400 Nevi'im who are already here. And you should know, I'm just giving you a little inside information, that they already said good things about the king. A little bit of advice. Just go along with the crowd. Tell the king exactly what they said. Do the same thing like them. Say a good thing. Vayomer Michayu, and Michayu says, Chai Hashem is a lashon of a shvuah. Ki es asher yomer Hashem elai oisay adaver. I don't play these games. I'm not going to be a shaker. Don't give me this garbage. I should go and say exactly what they said. I will do exactly what Hashem tells me. Vayomer el Amelech. Vayomer HaMelech Eilav, Michayu, Hanelech Aram Yizgil LaMecham Yimnechtol, Vayomer Eilav Alei VaHatzlach VeNosan Hashem Biyad HaMelech. Michayu is asked, should I go? And he says, go. Hashem should give them over in the hands of the king. What's going on here? He just said he's going to say enough. Now we're not going to have time to go through the whole Indian, and it's really dependent on the psukim later, but in the Pashut Pshat, it's very simple. Did the king ask him, what's the Dvar Hashem? No. He said, Hanelech Aram Eskim Alcham, I want a bracha from the Rebbe, should I go or should I not go? Oh, you should be Matzliach, right? A bracha of Kultuv, right? He didn't ask him, what's the Dvar Hashem. We're going to see. The truth is, we're not going to say now, I guess, till after Sukkot. But there is a big machlokes here. Michayu had a nevuah from Hashem. How come he didn't tell it to Achav? It's an iser, it's a chiyuv misa to withhold a nevuah from Hashem. And here he doesn't say it's a nevuah. It would seem, that if the king didn't ask him for the Nevuah, he's not Mechuyev to tell. If the king says, do you have a Dvar Hashem for me? Then he would be obligated to tell. But the king didn't say that. He said, and he knew what he was doing, Achav. He wasn't stupid. He also knew not to ask for the Dvar Hashem. So he said, should I go or should I not? He says, okay, Alei Ba'atzlach, I give you a bracha, v'natan Hashem miyad HaMelech. But as we will see, and we'll have to chazer it over then, that others say, no, if you have a Nevuah, you're Mechuyev to say it. then the question arises, what was Michal doing here? And that will depend on the psukim later that we will do at a later date.